I don't know how many of you had a chance to read the blurb about this morning's service in the E-News. Entering this new year of 2018, we are exploring the January theme of intention. I used a thought from 20th century Catholic monk Thomas Merton, who suggests the biggest human temptation is to settle for too little. I want to repeat that. The biggest, and there are a lot of temptations in our lives, the biggest temptation is to settle for too little. So I tried to verify that quote. Sometimes you see quotes that are attributed on the internet, and sometimes they're not exactly accurately attributed. So I thought, okay, if I'm going to really work with this quote, I should find out if Thomas Merton really said it. The only reference I found to a particular article, and then I couldn't find the article, was from 1980 in Forbes magazine, August of 1980. And then I realized he died in 1968. So it wasn't likely a direct quote. But let's just assume he did say it. It sounds like something he might have said. And let's assume it has some truth to it. At this time of considering setting our intentions, both personal and collective, I found that it made me very sad that we are ever tempted to settle our intentions rather than setting them at an aspiring height, rather than doing what Annie Lamott suggests, which is to shoot the moon. I think Merton's idea caught my attention particularly because we are in this era of what feels like diminishing expectations, or kind of acceptance of lowering the bar. As an example, I was thinking that we used to bemoan the frequency of the word like in conversation, right? I don't remember whether it was the 80s or the 90s where we would mimic Valley Girl speak, oh, like, I'm so upset about my like hair today. And now our president goes to the trouble of including it in his tweets. It's stunning. Yesterday, he wrote, actually, throughout my life, my two greatest assets have been mental stability and being, like, really smart. He's not the only one in the public sector who disappoints. He's just an easy target right now, which doesn't make me happy either. But we are, I think, in an increasingly polarized place where we have come to expect too little of each other by way of collaborating towards the common good, or even being in conversation about what the common good looks like. At any rate, I want to share a poem for all of us by the Reverend Nancy Schaefer called Because We Spill Not Only Milk. I shared it once before, but it has been a while, and it's one of my favorites. Sadly, Reverend Schaefer, who I think of as a particularly gifted poet, died in 2012 of brain cancer. But she left us much to consider. Because we spill not only milk, knocking it over with an elbow when we reach to wipe a small face, but also spill seed on soil we thought was fertile but wasn't, and also spill whole lives and only later see in fading light how much is gone and we hadn't intended it. Because we tear not only cloth, thinking to find a true edge and instead making only a hole, but also tear friendships when we grow, and whole mountainsides because we are so many and we want to live right where black oaks lived once very quietly and still. Because we forget not only what we are doing in the kitchen and have to go back in the room we were in before, remember why it was we left, but also forget entire lexicons of joy and how we lost ourselves for hours, yet all that time we're clearly found and held. And also forget the hungry not at our table. Because we weep not only at jade plants caught in freeze and precious papers left in rain, but also at legs that no longer walk or never did, although from the outside they look like most others. and also weep at words said once as though they might be rearranged, but which, once loose, refuse to return, and we are helpless. Because we're imperfect and love so deeply, we will never have enough days. We need the gift of starting over, beginning again. Just this constant good, this saving hope. We need the gift of starting over. So here we are at the beginning of a new year, contemplating intention, knowing, because we are imperfect and love so deeply, knowing that we will fail and we will make mistakes, like Amanda. But I'm worried because we are in this tricky era where we don't feel like we know what's actually happening. And it would be easiest to do what Merton suggests, which is to keep the bar low so that we won't continue to be so phenomenally disappointed. But you know, and I know, that this is not the time to succumb to that temptation. We need to keep our sights high, very high, now more than ever. We need to be willing to engage in the gift of starting over, beginning again every day with insistence that we do not accept this diminishing. It is not okay. And I don't mean simply the tweets of our leader or leaders, though they are no exception. We must hold ourselves to a high intention because now, as ever, there is work to be done and we should not hold ourselves apart from it. How does it serve us individually or altogether to settle? One of the readings earlier was from the Reverend Kendall Gibbon's installation sermon for the new minister in our Fairhaven Church on the South Shore. Gibbons was talking about the life of congregations and how we are in relationship with each other and how important it is to commit to the ins and outs of those relationships. It is the shared effort, she says, the working together itself that satisfies both in the moment and in memory. In the collective sphere, one might ask what the measure of aiming high looks like when we hold ourselves accountable to the work in front of us, to the work that the world needs us to attend to. I wonder if you remember the words from Howard Thurman at the end of our Christmas Eve service about the work of Christmas that begins when the angels stop singing and the shepherds are back with their flocks. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, he says, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among all people, to make music in the heart. What does it look like to hold ourselves accountable to those high intentions? I think it looks a bit like it might in our individual lives. It looks a little bit like discomfort. Because of what it demands of us. And maybe that's why we're so tempted to settle for less, because doing more is hard work, and it can require more of us than we are sometimes really interested in committing to. Jordan Nelson Long, who is the minister that Kendall Gibbons was preaching for, has a blog. Shortly after yet another gun tragedy last year, she wrote a fairly colorful piece about gun control, colorful in the use of a particular expletive that we seldom hear in religious environments, but she was angry. Her piece is entitled, "F This, America," only she doesn't shorten the word to one letter. I have only used that particular word once in a worshipful environment, and it landed quite heavily. But in her blog, Jordan was bemoaning the ongoing tragedies, and she had little patience for polite speech. She was also pointing out the allure and the hazards of settling for too little. Comfort, my peeps, is both the dream we chase and the slow narcotic drip that we use to justify all the not seeing. And as its beneficiaries, we are loath to contemplate, much less voluntarily enter into, the discomfort that we imagine to be the permanent price of challenging the status quo that got us here. That's a lot of statement when you're hearing it as opposed to reading it. But we know this temptation, perhaps. Life is hard enough without challenging ourselves to do more. We just want some comfort. And who can blame us? Comfort, my peeps, is the slow narcotic drip to justify all the not seeing. So we wonder, what is it we don't want to see? Anything uncomfortable. Anything and everything that's wrong with our world that addressing could cause us to feel sad or frustrated or angry on behalf of others. And as its beneficiaries, and by that she means beneficiaries of the status quo, so those of us who are beneficiaries, we are loath to voluntarily enter into the discomfort that we imagine to be the permanent price of challenging it. So we're beginning to understand, perhaps, right? The biggest human temptation is to settle for too little because it's more comfortable for so many of us not to. But so many, and rocking the boat, will put our comfort at risk. And there is this small problem of not knowing exactly what to do anyway. Though I will tell you this, and you know this already as well, not knowing exactly what to do doesn't excuse doing too little. And it definitely doesn't excuse doing nothing, because then, when you know what hits the fan, which is another expletive I'm not going to say out loud, we will have no one to blame but ourselves. Remember that poem about climate change from a couple years ago? I tried to find it and couldn't. It asked us what we were doing when we knew but didn't act. How would we feel when? These are challenges to our spirits, challenges to how we want to have spent our time in this life that require us to be willing to make mistakes, to risk exposing our jiggly selves on behalf of a big, juicy, creative life that is engaged in possibility. So we had a meeting yesterday here in the parish hall, which was nice and warm. Thank you. It was the standing committee and the stewardship team and the finance committee and the vision team and the property committee, which is a lot of committees and teams, so I'm surprised you weren't all there. But there were many. We were talking about the intersection of vision and decision making for our congregation, how we want to approach the next period of time in the life of this almost 306-year-old congregation. And we talked about it in terms of not fixing the individual bricks or repairing a particular wall, but of building the proverbial cathedral, one that we each may never see completed, because the life of a congregation is, if our tenure is any example, never completed. The question is how we contribute it during our time here. And your vision team has recommended an idea to make this church a center of community life above and beyond our worship time together or our gathering time, but one grounded in the same ideals and dreams and priorities. They have mentioned the possibility of creating what we might call the Parker Center for Spirit, Arts, and Justice. To partner with our sanctuary as continual spaces of celebration and exploration and challenge to the status quo, so that we are a home of spiritual and intellectual and emotional growth for all who enter these buildings, not just those of us who claim membership here. Now, in some respects, that doesn't sound too difficult. You could paint a sign and put it over the door, and voila. But you and I know the particulars of the building are the easy part, right? The fundraisers among us may not agree. The vision requires all of us to set an intention to create a center of human activity that challenges and teaches and creates hope, even in the midst of the discomfort of our learning as we challenge the status quo. Those three topical areas are things we are already engaged in: the life of the spirit, which pervades everything we do, the practice and appreciation of the broad range of arts in our midst, and the active and ongoing pursuit of justice in its endless, endless needs. But this could be a place that invites an extended community to grow together, to find perhaps some comfort in challenging the status quo that we too often hold so dearly for fear of losing what we know, and even as we recognize it is imperfect. This is an ambitious project and a really terrific idea. And seriously, there is no time like the present. Gibbons reminds us, if you really want to build community, take on a demanding project together. And don't let yourself quit when the going gets tough. Whether or not you accomplish the goal, you will be known to each other and changed by each other. That sounds like an intention worth setting, doesn't it? Let's aim high together. Let's have the gift of starting over every day, of recommitting ourselves to new levels of aspiration, this constant good, this saving hope. Let's set aside the fear of discomfort and set an intention that will aim at the moon. And if you, like me, are just slightly uncomfortable with that expression about shooting the moon, which we love to see in the sky every night, think of it like the card game, where you play strategically to go all out and to try to end up, even if you're not successful, with all the cards in your basket. But for us, it would be the collective basket, and we would all be playing on the same team. To be alive, not just the carcass, but the spark. That's crudely put. But if we're not supposed to dance, why all this music?